Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids, going to cons is our.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, my name is Tom, and I'm one of the Long Box guys, and I'm happy to have you with us here this week. We're going to be talking about a great subject, the enemies of Captain America. Josh, you're with us. How you doing and what you drinking?
Tonight I am drinking Alesmith's Nut Brown Ale. It's in my fancy aircraft aluminum mug, and I'm doing fine.
LT, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing fine. I am drinking Johnny Walker Rye Cask Finish tonight.
That sounds delicious. Mikey, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I am doing excellent, and I am drinking a Strongbow Gold Apple Hard Apple Cider.
Delicious. Strongbow is my favorite cider. When I'm in the mood not to be a drunk. I'm drinking a Harvey Bullock, which is some almost empty bottles of scotch, all poured into a glass with a couple of giant ice cubes. A Harvey Bullock, and it is delicious. And today we're going to be talking about Captain America's enemies. Everyone knows that one of my favorite Captain America enemies of all time is on this list. Mike, I'm going to let you go first. If you take my guy, I'm going to be so mad. So mad.
My favorite Captain America enemy is Advanced Idea Mechanics, also known as AIM. AIM originally started off as a splinter group from Hydra. They were a organization of mad scientists whose goal was to destroy all country boundaries and take over the world through the use of science. Created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, first appearing in Strange Tales, number 146, They're known for the lowest rung of the ladder of mad scientists are the guys who wear the beekeeper outfits that look like just big yellow mop suits where they've got the beekeeper helmet on. That's what most people think of when they think AIM. There are actually several hierarchies in AIM where eventually you don't have to wear that stupid hood at all. But the best thing about it is every bad guy who works for AIM, from the lowliest beekeeper up to the head of the organization, you are required to have a master's degree in either one of the sciences, mathematics, or business. So I love the fact that they have a hiring policy for this evil terrorist group. Some of the greatest creation.
Even guards.
Yes, even a guard. Like if they capture Captain America and they throw him in a prison cell, that guy guarding him, he went to college and got his master's degree. And not just a master's degree. It had to be in something useful for AIM. It couldn't be like a bachelor's degree in, you know, 15th century Danish philosophy or something like that. It had to be something
easy,
specific.
Buddy. Easy, buddy. Carry on.
Well, Josh, don't you have your master's in computer science?
Yes, my undergrad is in philosophy.
All right, so you would be a perfect hireling for AIM. You could work on such projects as the Cosmic Cube, which they created. They also help create the Red Hulk. And one of their greatest creations was MODOK, who I'm sure we'll talk about soon. So AIM is my favorite of all the terrorist organizations that Cap fights. Actually, they're no longer a terrorist organization. A few years ago, Roberto Da Costa bought out AIM and took it over in a hostile takeover with his company and fired all the upper management. And he found out if you treat the evil mad scientists with a little bit of respect, and they'll be evil mad scientists for you.
Well, that's a step in the right direction. We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
All right.
He aims to
LT, who's your first pick for a Captain America villain?
Well, I figure for my first pick, I would go all the way back to the beginning and pick the Red Skull. Red Skull introduced in Captain America number one, even though it was later revealed that it was an imposter Red Skull, and then he was later revealed introduced into Captain America number seven, Johann Schmidt, Nazi, Red Skull, classic Captain America villain. Some say he's the arch nemesis for Captain America. Captain America and the Red Skull fight for decades and decades. Supposedly, the Red Skull was put on ice and was revived, similar to Captain America in some of the storylines. Red Skull organized a whole massive storyline to take down the Avengers, and the Avengers disassembled. He is just the quintessential anti-Captain America.
Well, first off, everyone drink, because Red Skull definitely made my list. Yeah, I agree. Red Skull is the antithesis of Captain America. Everything Captain America is, the Red Skull is not. So, yeah, kudos to you for picking a great one. Josh, who's your first pick?
My first pick is, well, he's been villain and hero, but I always liked Super Patriot. He also leads into one of my favorite Captain storylines. So Super Patriot is he's a guy, John Walker, who starts out in the military. He gets released, and he is introduced to a mysterious man named Power Broker, who gives him superhuman abilities. And his first thought after getting that is he tries to join the superpowered wrestling league in Marvel called Unlimited Class Wrestling. But instead, one of the guys there convinces him to go elsewhere, and he basically becomes a corporate-sponsored hero. And he has this fake bunch of villains he fights because he wants to decry Captain America. And they're called the Bold Urban Commandos, and he calls them Buckies for short. And so he stages all these fake fights between him and the Buckies. And at some point, Captain America gets notice of this and confronts him. And he challenges Captain America, and Captain America, you know, stands his ground and refuses and just tries to walk away from the fight. Super Patriot doesn't have it. And him and Super Patriot fight it out. And really, in their first confrontation, Super Patriot wins. And kind of like sets Captain America, you know, doubting his own abilities a little bit. And later on, they're both trying to stop this terrorist named Warhead. And Super Patriot gets to him first to prove that he's better than Captain America. But instead of bringing him in, Super Patriot kills the bad guy. And that really becomes the start of their they're really starting to butt heads there.
Super Patriot, an unconventional pick. He's not one of my he doesn't really hit the radar all that much for me. So, yeah, unconventional pick.
Everybody yeah, well, he leads drink. Into Captain, yeah.
He was one of my guys.
Oh, drink.
Yeah, and he leads into Captain America No More. And then, yeah, which is probably my favorite Captain America storyline of all time.
No, that's a great storyline. That's true. To no one's surprise, my first pick is Batroc and Zilli Bear.
I've talked
about wait a second. What? Huh?
Who?
Who?
Batroc the Leaper.
Is he one of Arcade's minions?
Guy, right?
I'm gonna
he's a French dude,
everyone.
Right?
Yeah.
According to the official Wikipedia page, he is French. But, of course, he can't be French because he served in the French Foreign Legion. He is, in fact, Algerian.
Unless you're an officer, and then you can be in the French Foreign Legion.
He wasn't an officer. He was a nobody.
Frenchie.
Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
He had a brigade, so he probably was an officer.
The brigade was an honorary title. Shut up. Hate you all. George Batroc, also known as the Leaper, shows up in one of the very first Tales of Astonish. Matter of fact, it's Tales of Suspense, number 75, and that's March 1966, created by Stan the Man Lee and Jack Kirby. He is a man. He is not enhanced in any way, shape, or form. His abilities are all his own. A master of Sabat and several other martial arts, Batroc the Leaper has held his own against such notables as Captain America, Spider-Man, and Batman in a crossover. So if we talk about Batman villains, I get to talk about him again. The reason I love Batroc so much is because he's only a man. If you read Batroc's one-shot comic book, you'll see that it's important to him to show the superheroes that a man, just a man, can beat them. Another thing I love about Batroc is that he did have his own legion, as you mentioned, with Zaran, the weapons master, Machete, Bloodstone. He had like a whole slew of people who would come in and out of all these really cool iterations of Batroc's brigade. Notably, Taskmaster and him never liked each other. He hated Taskmaster because he thought Taskmaster could take a shortcut because he had the superpower of being able to copy all of his moves. Taskmaster even once tossed him off a building, mocking him for being heterosexual because he hated ethnic stereotypes. Yeah, that's true. That happened. Him and Tarantula. Yeah. I don't even know what that was about. I found the comic book and I'm like, why does Taskmaster even bring that up? But I thought it was funny, so I thought I guess
Taskmaster really hates Frenchies.
Mike, who's your next pick?
Well, before we go on to the next picks, I just want to recommend if somebody is interested in Batroc, they should go get Captain America and Batroc the Leaper. It is a one-shot comic, which my good friend Tom Strange told me to get, and I was not disappointed at all. It is awesome.
Yeah, that's a great comic book. I mean, it really lays out, you know, who Batroc is and why, so...
And can we go back to the Super Patriot for just a minute? Because I feel like we didn't really talk about the best part about Super Patriot was the horrible, horrible racism when he took over as Captain America. And I am referring to them partnering him with a other superpowered black man, but calling him Bucky.
That was unfortunate.
Yeah, apparently no one knew, or the writer had no idea, but they corrected it later and changed it to Battlestar. But still, man, how do you miss that? But anyway, my number two villain of Captain America is Captain America. That's right, I am talking about Steve Rogers, Captain America. Well, his name wasn't originally Steve Rogers. He changed it because he was fascinated by his childhood hero. Originally, his name was William Burnside, and he grew up in the 1940s, watching Captain America and loving his exploits and following him. When Captain America disappeared, he was so distraught, he started doing research, and it led him over to Germany, where he found some lost manuscripts where the Nazis had stolen information from the guy who created Captain America, and he recreated the experiment and gave himself the super soldier formula. He then got plastic surgery to make himself look like Steve Rogers and found a kid who looked almost exactly like Bucky Barnes, and they started fighting communists. That's right. This is Captain America, Commie Smasher. He first appeared in the 1950s. What actually happened, that was all continuity, but in reality, they tried to bring Captain America back in the 50s, and it was horrible. And he spent all of his time fighting the commies, and they just decided to skip over that whole history when they brought Cap back in the 1960s. Like, oh, that never happened. Then later on, one of the Steve Englehart decided to bring him back in, and when he did, it was actually a very good storyline for the time. Back in the early 1970s, this guy who is just now a sociopath because the experiment that he used didn't have the vita rays that Steve Rogers, the real Captain America, had undergone. So he slowly started losing his mind and becoming more and more homicidal. And it is just a great series. If you want to read these early Captain America books, feel free to go and do it. It's Captain America issues number 153, 154, 155, and culminates in 156. So if you get a chance to go check those out, you really should. It's a throwback to the old Steve Englehart days when he was writing Captain America. And you're going to cringe at the way Falcon speaks. But other than that, it's going to be a good issue and a good read.
All right. Can't wait to read.
All righty.
Josh, pick.
I'm going to go with Crossbones. I liked Crossbones as the sort of the hard-hitting... Damn it.
We are going to be
it was on my list, too.
Damn it.
Everybody drank. Oh, yes. Drinking.
You know, as the hard-hitting, no-nonsense assassin fronted by Red Skull. And then once the point where, like, Red Skull disappears for a while, and then he starts the, what were they called? The Skeleton Crew? Come on. And I think villains end up with terrible group names, by the way. Anyway, he goes through a lot of
villains, Josh.
I know. He goes through a lot of, you know, a lot of ins and outs. He does fight a lot of people other than Captain America. He gets involved with Daredevil and Spider-Man a little bit. And then, of course, we all know his pivotal moment in the Civil War storyline. And then, apparently, and I did not know this, but recently in the whole Terrigen Mist thing, he actually gets a superpower. Has anybody seen this in a book? But apparently, he opens up this portal in front of his face and fire comes out.
What's a superpower?
He opens like this little portal in front of his face, like a magic portal, and fire streams out of it, to which he is not immune.
Fire face.
So he burns his own face?
Yeah, so he burns his own face every time he uses the power. Because it's so hot from the other side of the disc.
That is a shitty superpower.
It's really terrible. I don't even know. I just liked him as the old assassin.
I have a superpower too, where I can open my body up and drown people, and I'm not immune to it.
And blood? Yeah.
You have to be really dedicated to use that type of superpower.
Yeah. Or have like an asbestos mask.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually seen it, so I now I actually have to go out and find an issue where Crossbones is using his disc of fire.
I thought Crossbones was excellent in the Captain America movies when he was played by Frank Grillo.
I think Grillo did a great job, yeah. It was rather, it was a little unceremonious ending for him, but sure. They could have done a better job with that.
All right. Well, then, Tommy, who's your next pick?
Well, since Mikey opened the floodgates by mentioning a group to begin with, I'm going to mention a group and say, Hail Hydra, Immortal Hydra, we shall never be destroyed. Cut off a limb, and two more shall take its place. We serve none but the Master, as the world shall soon serve us. Hail Hydra. That is, of course, the Hydra Oath from Strange Tales number 135 back in 1965. Hydra, the Nazi organization, which later splintered off into several different groups, including AIM, and has always remained sweet, sweet Hydra. You can't get better than Hydra in terms of Captain America's nemesis in terms of a group. Even though he does fight AIM a lot, he also still fights Hydra a lot. And, well, Hail Hydra is something I say when somebody sneezes, because I'm like, hey, if this whole worldly thing doesn't work out, don't worry. Somebody will take your place.
Well, I like Hydra, too. Everyone drink. I think we're going to be drinking a lot tonight.
Hydra Schmydra, they play minimum wage, and you don't. The hiring standards are really low in Hydra. I'm just saying. I'm just going to throw that out there.
They had really good death benefits.
They had?
I mean, you could get into Hydra with a GED, but I do have to give them something. The original Hydra costumes for the minions were like they were kind of loose and pajama like. I don't know. They looked comfy. Like I was always like, man, I want some Hydra pajamas. Hail nap time.
Hail nap time.
Hail nap time. I bet you could stick snacks in there too. I mean, they were really loose. They probably had tons of pockets.
The bulky mask that they had on really cut off their peripheral vision. So I think that's why Captain America could take on so many Hydra minions at the same time.
Who's down for just all of us cosplaying Hydra minions at a con?
Oh, I'm in.
I'm in.
I could be convinced of that.
All right. I'm gonna put costume together and then we'll figure it out. The PJ version, not the real one.
Yeah, the pajama version, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned, by the way, that everyone in AIM had to have an advanced degree. I believe in G.I. Joe, in Cobra, I think that the Crimson Guard, they all had to have either a business degree or a law degree. I just want to put that out there. The Crimson Guard. Someone want to look that up while we're talking about other stuff? I'm just putting it out there. Pretty sure the Crimson Guard also had to have advanced degrees before being allowed into Cobra.
I'm looking it up now. Next, I'm on it.
Look it up now. For my next one, I'm going to take one that I think a lot of people overlook, but fought Captain America quite a bit, and that is the Taskmaster. Now, the Taskmaster shouldn't have made
drink.
It because he's... Damn it!
You are correct, sir. Grudge.
I am correct. What was the degrees they had to have?
All Crimson Guardsmen must hold a degree in either law or accounting and be in top physical condition.
Law or accounting? That's not from some comic book.
There you go. Yeah.
Holy shit, they're FBI agents.
That's right. Crimson Guard, CPA.
All right, so Taskmaster. His real name is unrevealed, though it's been said a couple times that it might be Tony Masters or a couple other of these names. But no one knows for sure. He is kind of a cool character. His superpower is really neat, I think, and that he has photographic reflexes, which means that if he watches someone do it, if it's within his physical limitations, he can do it. If he watches Michael Jordan dunk a basketball, he can dunk a basketball. Maybe not quite as far out as MJ, but he can certainly do a slam dunk. If he sees a pro golfer, you know, hit a putt, he can hit that same exact putt, no problem. He could have made as much money as he needed, probably, just winning golf bets or being a professional golfer. But instead, he decided to become a supervillain. But smarter than most supervillains, his whole shtick was he would rent himself out to organizations who were trying to kill, say, Captain America. He says, all right, you're trying to kill Captain America. I'll train your guys to fight Captain America. And he would mimic all the moves of Captain America, trying to train minions how to defeat these heroes. And later, of course, he has his own whole organization where he is just training all of these minions to go to all these different organizations. I'm guessing that as soon as you got your advanced degree and right before you went to AIM, you probably went to the Taskmaster to train for a while because, you know, you might have lost a little bit of skill, you know, while you're chasing your advanced degree at MIT. One of the sadder parts of the Taskmaster is that he also has a terrible memory problem. He doesn't really know who he is, and every few months or so, he loses all of his short-term memory. He has a few people who are close to him who follow him around and try to remind him, and they know that in 3 or 4 months, he's going to forget everything all over again. So kind of a sad backstory also with the Taskmaster. I just like him a lot. He's a lot of fun to watch, and it's always cool to see how someone's going to defeat him if they're doing the same exact moves as he is. Anyone have anything to add on Taskmaster?
Yeah, I still think he could make more as a three-sport athlete. I mean, top athletes right now get like $35 million a year. He could play three sports. That's without endorsements. $100 million a year without endorsements.
Once again, somebody who did not need to devote himself to crime could have just easily raked it up in society.
Just killed it. And then he can go out in public.
Golfer.
Yeah. The ladies love the golfers.
The ladies love the golfers. All right, Mike, who's your next pick?
My next pick is Republican presidents. That's right. Captain America has a habit of giving up being Captain America in years when there's a Republican president. In fact, it was so bad that the Secret Empire storyline of the 1970s, it was pretty obvious that the writers were saying it was Richard Nixon was the head of that organization. He was a president. They never actually showed his face or anything, but come on, we all know. In the 1980s, that storyline that Josh was talking about that he loved, Reagan and Bush were president then. And recently, he has become a Nazi, or excuse me, not a Nazi. He's become a Hydra sleeper agent, and there's a Republican president. I'm just saying, for some reason, Captain America seems to be a Democrat. And I'm just going to leave that out there.
Just put that right there.
Yes.
All right, then. Tommy, who's your next pick?
My next pick is the original Teletubby, Arnim Zola. That's right. Nazi scientist, biochemist, and original Teletubby, Arnim Zola.
Arnim Zola. He's so cute.
He is so cute, especially when he's angry, which seems to be all the times that he's fighting Captain America, because Captain America always kicks his butt. Arnim Zola survives the post-war era by transferring his body, or his consciousness, into a robot body. And some people would be just, you know, happy with life everlasting in their robot body. But no, he has to project his face onto a screen in the middle of his body, and he has to continually plan to try to defeat Captain America and to create monstrosities throughout time. And I think he's just one of the classic Captain America characters. And, well, he kind of does what Captain America does best, which is fight Nazis. And he is a holdout Nazi from the beginning.
It's hard not to like Baron, not to like Zola. I love seeing him in the Captain America movie. I love that quick little homage they did to his robot body where he went by the that big mirror thing and it looked like he had a giant head. I thought that was really hilarious. I loved him in a lot of things. I love some of his creations too. Josh, who's your last pick?
So mine's kind of obscure, and I have to say, the only reason I really like him is because he has the evil team name that is probably the longest acronym in Marvel. Anybody know who I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. Flag Smasher. Anybody remember Flag Smasher? Smasher. Okay,
yeah,
so
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say he was a Swiss nationalist who moved to America, who was always picked on because he was Swiss, and he grew to hate all flags, and he wanted to destroy all nations to make everyone kind of equal. Is that what you were going to say, Josh?
Pretty much. His dad was a diplomat for Latvia and gets trampled in a riot. And so he hates all countries, all nationalisms, and he wants to destroy all countries. He doesn't want anything. He hates the Soviet Union as much as he hates America, is his tagline. But anyway, he establishes a society called Ultimatum, which is the underground, liberated, totally integrated mobile army to unite mankind, which is the best acronym of all time. So I don't so much like the character as much as the effort he put into creating the team name of his society, which I think thought was fantastic. And that took
he
some thought. That took a while.
Yeah.
That's some effort there.
That's an afternoon, at least.
At least the whole afternoon.
There was a lot of drinking going on in the writer's room that day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking at his page now, and it says he's Swiss.
Yeah, you said that, didn't you?
Oh, I thought you said he was...
Yeah.
No, his father was a diplomat to Latvia.
Oh,
Latvia,
or
whatever
the... diplomat to Latvia.
Yeah, and got crushed during, like, basically a rally. And so he hated nationalism.
All right. I'm looking at Ultimatum, too. That is a great acronym.
That's a great acronym.
That kind of reminds me of a little bit in Civil War when someone mentions that S.H.I.E.L.D. is a little unwieldy. Why do you think they named it S.H.I.E.L.D. with such a crazy long name? And they said, well, the founder really wanted it to be S.H.I.E.L.D. So I guess he really wanted it to be Ultimatum. Just kind of shoehorned it in. Underground, liberated.
Yeah, totally get it in there.
Yeah, just get it out of where you get. Even if it's an onomatopoeia, just get it in there.
Shoehorn that acronym. I don't care what it comes from.
All right, for my last guy, I'm going to go kind of far back to the Invaders, back when Captain America was with the Invaders. Can anyone guess what supervillain I'm going with? Good
Baron
job,
Blood.
Mike. How'd you guess that?
Wow, nice job, Mike.
I love the Invaders, and that was the first villain that came into my mind.
Yeah, Baron Blood was super cool. I also loved Mother Superior, just because that, you know, did a lot of things to really influence my later sexuality. But Baron Blood was super cool. Baron Blood was an English aristocrat who wanted to study vampire lore, goes to Transylvania, meets the original Dracula, He overpowers him and drains him of his blood and turns him into the undead. But because a Dracula hates England, he puts him under his thrall and makes him go back to wreak havoc. Baron Blood decides the best way to create havoc in England is to join with Germany and the Nazis. So Germany and the Nazis, they start doing all this crazy stuff to bring super villains and weapons into Great Britain. And they are, of course, being fought off by the invaders, which is Captain America and Ensemble, including, Iron, a Union Jack, and a handful of others in and out. So Baron Blood being crazy-looking English-slash-flying vampire guy is super cool, and I really liked him a lot. And he really did hold his own against all the invaders a couple times. So vampires are pretty...
I mean, vampire powers are, even on the scale of, supervillain, superhero stuff, that's a pretty good power subset. I mean, besides the sunlight vulnerability, super strength, super speed, shape change, control animals. I mean, hypnotism, damn.
One of his vulnerabilities was to garlic, so he could be killed by a really good Italian dinner. That's kind of a setback. Worth it, totally worth it. Especially your mom's lasagna, which we've actually fist fought over, as I recall.
It's true.
But he also was able to go on sunlight for small periods of time. He got a serum from Nazis who are really good at vampirism, it turns out. And he was able to go into the sunlight, but as a side effect, he wasn't able to transform into a wolf anymore. If I was a vampire, I think I'd want to keep the wolf thing a lot. So I don't think I'd do it. Let's do a couple honorable mentions. Mikey, you got any honorable mentions for us?
I only have one honorable mention, and that is a gentleman by the name of George Tarleton. You might not recognize him, but he was the technician for Advanced Idea Mechanics, born in Bangor, Maine, who created the Cosmic Cube. After he created the Cosmic Cube, he then created a super intelligent computer called MODOK, Mental Organism Designed Only for Computing, to improve the Cosmic Cube. But he got too ambitious. He kills his former masters and takes control of AIM and starts calling himself MODOK, Mental Organism Designed Only for Killing. And he is awesome. He is one of the most memorable-looking supervillains you can ever find. It's just like a big head with little tiny arms and legs. He has to float around. But he is a super genius, and he is awesome.
I just have one thing to say about MODOK. Drink.
Yeah, that's it. That's my boy. I knew you would have MODOK. That's it for honorable mentions.
Josh, honorable mention for you?
Yeah, I have an honorable mention. His name is Armadillo. And dare I explain his massive superpowers? No, he's pretty much just a big armadillo.
He's got leprosy?
Big armadillo.
Sorry.
Really big.
I lost on leprosy. No, yeah, he's superhumanly strong, stamina, durability. He can curl up in a ball and sleep wherever he wants. He's a scaly 9 foot tall armored hide guy with claws for digging. He was just your super typical, super powered person, ridiculously based on a ridiculous animal. I loved him. He had a great action.
I think Armadillo is just a poor man's grizzly.
I would like to see that.
Man's grizzly.
I would watch that fight.
I think you're going the wrong way, Mike. I think armadillo is just a rich man's porcupine.
You know what? I would like to see a table, ladders, and chair match between porcupine, armadillo, and grizzly. I would pay money for that. I'm just saying, Marvel, that's a free movie. You just make it. We'll watch it.
Just letting it out there. Totally free.
Oh, all right. Well, besides that, Tommy, you got any honorable mentions?
Well, since Mikey took MODOK, I'm going to have to go with the Serpent Squad. The Serpent Squad was pretty much a group of snake-themed villains. the snake-themed villains, pretty much anyone in the Marvel Universe that had a Slytherin name at some point has probably been in this group. I mean, Sin, Cobra, Eel, Viper, Anaconda, Black Mamba, Copperhead, Death Adder, Puff Adder, Sidewinder. I mean, they've all been in this group at one point or another, and Cap used to fight these guys all the time.
See that? 20 guys based on snakes, only one armadillo.
It's true.
There's not a whole lot of armadillos out there, I'll give you that. And I, for one, would also like to see this grudge match. Throw a scorpion in there, too, and we got us a real fight.
I would like to see a superhero named Mongoose fight the entire Serpent Society.
Well, there was Mongoose Man. Didn't you have all the issues of Mongoose Man, Mike?
I wish. I don't even know who Mongoose Man is. I wish I had
No, it was an indie comic book. Are you sure you didn't get it? It was like the Mongoose or something crazy like that. It was a bright purple costumed character. You picked it up down at Wizard World New Orleans, and we became friends with the
writer. No. No, that was Possum Man.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. That was
done by Blair Kitchen.
Yeah, he had all the powers of a possum. So anytime he encountered a supervillain, he would just pretend to be dead until the supervillain walked away. He was awesome.
I'd walk away from that because no one wants to fight a dead superhero because you might get blamed.
There is a Mongoose in Marvel Comics. He fought Spider-Man.
Yeah, he drank Mongoose blood and he was kind of fast, like super fast or slightly fast.
Yeah, he was quick. I don't know if he was super fast, but he was certainly quick.
Oh, my God, yeah. He fought Thor and Spider-Man at the same time.
Yeah, that guy's fast.
Yeah, no wonder he could take on the whole Serpent Society. That'd be awesome. I want to see that.
Yeah, awesome.
I'd watch that. For my last pick, I'm going to go with Warrior Woman. And the reason I'm going to go with Warrior Woman is because I've been calling her Mother Superior for far too long. The woman that I thought was Mother Superior is actually Warrior Woman. They changed her name for some odd reason. So this is Julia Frieda Koning Lohmer, also known as Krieger Frau or Madame Rostel or Madame Mystery. Born in Hanover, Germany and appearing in Invaders number 16, she is a kind of female takeoffy version of Captain America with a lot of Wonder Woman and a lot of bondage and S&M traits tossed in. Not all that unlike Wonder Woman, really. She is dressed as a Nazi dominatrix with a whip. She is skilled in hypnotism, espionage, and is a master of the whip. She had exposure to the super soldier formula that left her at peak physical condition with borderline super strength and endurance. She has fought alongside a U-Man and Lady Lois and Baron Blood. And she kicked ass. She was, really cool. And I liked her a lot.
So as a side note, I would just like to say Kraven hunted and collected animal-themed superhumans, including Bushmaster, Gargoyle, Tiger Shark, Kangaroo, Aragorn, Vulture, Manbull, Dragonman, Swarm, Mandrill, Grizzly, Frogman, and Rhino. And do you know who's not on that list? He wouldn't even dare go after the armadillo.
I'm just saying. There's no mongoose on there either.
I was going to say, there's no mongoose.
And mongoose, because it's on the mongoose page.
Oh, wait, did you say he got the kangaroo? Kangaroo Jack?
Oh, yeah. He got kangaroo. Oh,
that was he was kind of a badass. I liked Kangaroo Jack. The kangaroo.
Yeah.
All right.
Just saying.
Kudos to
anyway, that. Carry on.
Kangaroo was a guy who, from Australia, who learned to jump really high. That was this whole thing, right?
But he was also an excellent
player. Yeah.
If you recall, all right.
He's no Kraven the Hunter.
Well, obviously he's no Kraven the Hunter. If Kraven the Hunter hunted him and killed him. When Kangaroo Jack and Batrax the Leaper, of course it all comes back to Batrax the Leaper. When Kangaroo Jack and Batrax the Leaper were in prison together and Wolverine was thrown in with them, they beat the shit out of him because there was a super power dampening field. The two toughest guys in the prison was Kangaroo and Batrax the Leaper because they never had to rely on their superpowers to do anything. They were just straight up big giant men who beat up people and liked it. So don't take too much away from the Kangaroo or, of course, from Batrax. all things being equal, they were kicking a lot of ass in that super prison.
Yeah, that seems odd. Because, I mean, Wolverine still has an adamantium skeleton.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if someone's kicking the shit out of you.
It does when you break your hand every time you punch him in the wrong place.
They're pretty smart. They're not punching him in the wrong place. They're going for abdomen. They were kicking the heck out of his butt. Kicking him in the stomach. They kicked the hell out of this guy.
Also, he still
has his claws. I mean, a good swift kick to the forehead would suck.
Yeah, but if he pops his claws, he's going to bleed to death. If he doesn't have regeneration.
Exactly it, yeah. No regeneration means those claws are now kind of a pain in the ass. Kind of, I could use those too. All I have to do is stick knives on the back of my hand. I got claws.
I got claws.
Boom! I'm getting sleepy. Boom. And I don't feel so well, and I'm turning really pale, but I got claws for the next minute or so. Which brings us to the front of the long box. Everybody. He could just headbutt everybody else. That would be his go-to, but Patrick Leaper is pretty smart. He's going to see the headbutt come after the third time. Mikey, who do you got at the front of the long box?
At the front of the long box, I have the Red Hood and the Outlaws, issue number 12. And for our listeners out there, I am going to give you a free digital code to go get it. The first person who goes to dccomics.com/redeem and enters this code, you will get a free digital copy of this comic book. It's Delta Charlie 117-Romeo Sierra Yankee Romeo 84 Zulu Yankee. And you will be able to read this. The reason I bought this comic, I do not like the Red Hood, but on the cover is Solomon Grundy fighting Bizarro.
Ooh.
Yeah, I saw that and I'm like, congratulations, DC. You have got me to spend $4 in order to read this fight. The storyline is the Red Hood has teamed up with the Superman clone, defective clone, Bizarro, who he is apparently stolen from LexCorp, and Artemis, a exiled Amazon, and they are hiding out, and somebody has hired Solomon Grundy to draw out the Red Hood and kill him and the Outlaws. As Solomon Grundy is beating up the Red Hood and Artemis, Bizarro, whose genetic structure is degrading, goes to fight Solomon Grundy, and it's pretty awesome to watch them fight. I'm not going to tell you who wins or not, but it's not a bad issue. The problem with it is it does not make me want to read any more of these issues. So take that for what you will. I love the fight scene. It didn't last as long as I hoped it would, but I still thought it was great. So that is my recommendation for you. Everybody go ahead. Well, you don't have to drink. I'm going to drink anyways. I'm not going to highly recommend it, but I'm going to recommend it if you are a Solomon Grundy or a Bizarro fan.
I do want pants too, so.
I'll drink to that. Tommy, what do you got at the back of the long box?
I am not going back that far. I'm going to recommend Lantern City by Matthew Daly, Paul Jenkins, Mayor Greed, Scott Carlos Magno. This is released by Boom Studios in March 30th of 2016. It is a steampunk story of a walled city that is your typical tropish kind of story that normally I wouldn't recommend, but this one is just so beautifully done and so well written that I do recommend it. It's a typical story of worker class being pretty much slave labor and degraded by the upper class of citizens. They plan a revolt. One of the guards gets killed. They take the uniform. One of the guys in the revolt takes the place of the guard because the uniform fits. And it goes on from there. And it's, like I said, it's really, really well done. The artwork is tremendous. If you like steampunk, this book is for you all day long.
Did they all try on the uniform to see who would fit?
there were only a few of them that actually made it out of the revolt alive. And it was kind of a, this is definitely not going to fit you two, but this will fit him situation.
Just wondering, there was an issue of the episode of Archer where he keeps beating up guards, trying to find a uniform that fit him. He beat up like six guys until he found one that was the right size. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean, this has elements that are very, very tropish, but it really is just a joy to read. So much so that I bought Volume 2, and I'm going to buy Volume 3 just because I enjoyed it so much.
Josh, how about you? Do you have a tangent for us today?
I've been trying to think of a substantial tangent. I was thinking, I don't know if anybody saw recently on the coast of Maine, there's a big hoo-ha about a new property that's come up for sale. Have you seen this? It's an $8 million island.
I have not.
Okay, so if you get a chance, these guys, they invested a ton of money in this property. It's like an 89-acre island. It's like a 25-minute boat ride from Portland. Multiple structures. It's got its own bar, its own church. They've run power cable under the water, so it's got complete power. It's got multiple barns, its own system of roads. And then they left like half of the island kind of untouched, so like 40 acres of just woods out there to live on, you know? And so I guess my question is, if you had your sort of like your dream property, the castle, the island, the all-glass penthouse in New York City, where do you go? What do you pick? You're just offered any sort of home, residence, location you want, and it's completely outfitted, no cost to you whatsoever. Where do you go? What do you do?
Greenwich Village Sanctum Sanctorum.
So you live in Manhattan, brownstone?
Yeah, that'd be wicked cool. Like a really big brownstone in Manhattan would be pretty sweet. Actually, I would like the Sanctum Sanctorum. I would like it in Boston, though, if you don't mind. Thank you.
So they just opened up a Star Wars-themed hotel in Disney. I kind of would like that as my house.
I'll take that.
That way you guys can come visit whenever you want. I got plenty of room.
Well played, sir. Is that in Orlando or California?
Orlando.
They're building in Orlando. It just got announced. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you will have to deal with the hurricanes and the horrible mosquitoes and such.
I'm sorry, LT. You mean the space storms and alien mosquito
space
locusts.
Storms and mutant locusts.
That's right, because I will be in outer space on the Death Star.
That's an upgrade.
It's a nice upgrade.
It is a nice upgrade. You know, I think I would probably like something in the suburbs of Boston so that I could get into the city real quick, but also be somewhere where I'm kind of in the woods. So
that's what you have now, fuckface.
What?
That's what you have now. Oh, I'm sorry. You want Josh's house.
I want Josh's house, but like
my wife wants
woods.
Josh's house.
Everybody wants Josh's house, pretty much. Except for Josh, he already has it. But yeah,
I don't want to live in the suburbs.
But I think I'd want to be closer than Josh. I think I would want to be like 20 minutes away from Boston.
Josh, I'm basically taking that island. I mean, if I could get that $8 million island, I mean, I'd like something maybe about twice as big as that, but near like a main city. I think Portland is fine. Like I like the multi-seasonal thing. I'm not like a tropics guy, but yeah, like that kind of island where you could just say, hey, everyone I know and love, I got 2 or 3 acres here. Go build your own thing. We'll all live on the same island. We'll have roads. There's already a bar on the island. I mean, that's it. I'm good.
Josh, I'd be happy to bartend for you.
And in the wintertime, you can come visit me.
Yeah. See? It all works out.
And when Boston Comic Con rolls around, you can stay with me.
It's true.
Indeed.
Is that everybody on that? That was a good tangent, Josh. I like that one.
Thanks.
Yours is a bar. I'll have a bar in the basement of the Sanctum Sanctorum. And I'll hire a guy named Juan to man it.
I'll have nice. A bar and a restaurant in my hotel.
Yeah, the music's always the same in your bar, Mike. It just makes you go fucking crazy.
Yeah, but the band plays.
And they always throw my droid out. It's true.
We don't allow you every time I hear.
Ugh! But my droid, bastards.
Someone loses a hand every night.
Damn it! Haven't anybody seen my hand?
Mos Eisley.
Oh.
Well, you gotta go Mos Eisley.
Yeah.
All right. Well, for my little bit on civil rights and social justice, I want to talk a little bit about superhero PSAs. A couple of them show up in the new Spider-Man movie, but these are based on real things that have happened in the past. A couple of notable ones that I just wanted to talk about real quick are ones that Captain America has put out. My favorite one that I just found is Captain America Takes on Drugs and Captain America Takes on the Asthma Monster. These are full-length comic books in which Captain America, the character, is shown drugs, the war on drugs in inner cities, and he's also shown teaching children how to live with asthma symptoms. These are great comic books for kids who are dealing with, you know, tough issues in their lives, and they kind of show how you can use comic books to further some social justice and civil rights ideas. Another great PSA that Captain America put out was one in which a young man was trying to play baseball, and no one wanted him on their team because he happened to be Japanese. The same exact one actually shows up in a Batman cartoon, which I thought was interesting. And both sets of superheroes say, hey, it's not American to exclude a Japanese, even here in the middle of World War II. He's an American, you're American, we're all Americans. Very interesting concept. I like these PSAs. They do poke a little bit of fun at these PSAs in the movie, the Spider-Man movie, but I still really like them a lot. These PSAs are important. I think they should be looked at from a historical perspective.
I have the Captain America anti-drug poster hanging in my cubicle.
Really? Oh, that's terrific. Yes. Is it the poster of the cover of the comic book, or is it more?
I don't know. I'll tell you what, I will text it to you, and you can post it on our Twitter account. What is our Twitter account, anyways?
At the Long Box, guys. We've had a little bit of fun on there the last couple of days, and one thing I want to mention is that Tony Isabella, who's at Comic-Con right now, has told his followers, and we're coming with his followers, of course, that he would really enjoy it if he made it up to 5,000 followers. He doesn't have 5,000 followers yet. And we've reposted his asking about getting more followers. I would love it if we helped Tony Isabella get up to that magic number of 5,000 followers. If anyone deserves it, it's Tony Isabella. So if you're not following Tony Isabella, please, please follow Tony. He's funny. He always has some great posts. And he's interesting to watch and listen to and talk to.
Yeah, don't be a monster. Follow Tony.
Yeah.
What's wrong with
don't
be people?
A monster. Yeah. Follow Tony. That should be our whole thing.
Don't be a dick.
Follow Tony. There's a campaign. So we did get a letter this week, and it's from our good friend Alec. And Alec has asked us to do what, LT?
Alec has asked us to sponsor his dodgeball team.
We are.
That's right. The Longbox guys are. We are going to sponsor the Category 5 dodgeball team in the Nationals and possibly internationally.
And we are going to be the Chico Bales Bond of the dodgeball world. If you don't know who Chico Bales Bonds are, then you are not our target demographic, but we still love the fact that you're listening.
And thank you for listening. Well, I guess that brings us to plugs. Mikey, do you have any plugs for us?
Sure. I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music. You can go check them out at KirbyCrackleMusic.com. I would also like to plug our dodgeball team, Category 5, who are going to be playing for the national championships in Boston, Massachusetts. When are those games going to be taking place, LT?
While he's looking at that, let me once again plug Outside the Long Box, at the Long Box guys, and also at the Tony Isabella. The Tony Isabella, creator of Black Lightning and Misty Knight, wants 5,000 followers, and I think we should help him get to that number.
So our dodgeball team will be in Boston August 18th through the 21st, participating in the National Dodgeball Tournament. It will take place at Boston University's Rec Center. Teams from all over the country will be participating, and the team that we are sponsoring is the Category 5. The tournament lasts all day from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. each day and is open to the public. So come spectate, join us, Longbox Legion, as we support our team.
And Category 5, the most powerful kind of hurricane, so they must be great. That's all I can say, right?
Must be.
Must be.
Josh, you got any plugs for us?
Yeah, Epic Nerd Camp. Hey, guys, go to epicnerdcamp.com. Tickets are still available. Runs two sessions, August 12th to 16th and 16th to 20th in Taruka, Pennsylvania. Come on down, and I will teach you how to use a longsword, a rapier, and a lightsaber.
Ooh.
Are you going to be there for both weeks, Josh?
I am. It's 10 days. It's a Friday to a follow-on Sunday. So it's 2 4-day sessions or 5-day sessions. I will be there for both.
I would like to plug IanLino.com.
IanLino.com. IanLino.com.
I like those guys.
IanLino.com. IanLino.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things such as stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, stickers, posters, and more.
Fantastic everything designs. That guy rules. So does his wife.
It's true. They both rule.
Well, I guess that brings us to about the end of this podcast. As much as we hate to say goodbye, I think we're going to have to. Mike, any parting words of wisdom for us? Like maybe what this podcast is like for you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comic books.
Josh, the Brady Bunch, they probably lived in California. Was that your sector?
No, the 1970s was not my sector.
The 1970s would have been a great sector to have. Not a lot going on. Drugs head. A little bit of pot, that was about it. LT, any words of wisdom for us?
Well, Tom, this podcast may be not the podcast that you desire, but it is definitely the podcast you deserve.
Well said. And just remember what I always say, don't diss what you hate, just promote what you love, and try to love as much as you can. It's a great time to be a geek. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
I hope you've got a healthcare plan, and if you don't, I understand. But I got a question for ya. Does your hideout have a covered lot? And here's the hours I'm looking for. A part-time shift from noon to four, but not on Tuesdays, 'cause that's when I dungeon master for my friends. Do I qualify for this? Well, let me tell you what you've missed. A fired lasers from a sub. 1 year I blew a whole bridge up. I spent a month up on the moon, raising rank beyond a goon. I could have gone much higher, except for the fact my boss was burned alive. Yeah. time today. There's not much more to say. Hope I'm what you're looking for, though. You'll find I'm handy just like Panthro. Oh, I'll always be a henchman.
I thought you were just doing an homage to the episode of the Brady Bunch where Peter's voice kept cracking and they were about to do the big sing-along.
No, no.
No, no.
Now I'll never get the pork chop and applesauce.
Oh, my God.